Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
Law that was targeting doctors who quote-unquote share COVID-19 misinformation. Remember in California they came up with a law that on the outset seems to be like, oh, okay, that makes good sense. Yeah, that's right. Doctors cannot spread misinformation. Okay, doctor spreads misinformation. Says, for example, that if you add scotch to cow milk, you can cure cancer. Okay. If a doctor says something like that, they're losing their license. But if a doctor says, guys, some of your masks might not be working. They're dirty. They're old. COVID's getting around the mask. Or if a doctor says, hey, there are some side effects associated with the vaccines, that's not misinformation. It has been accused of misinformation. People have accused doctors of that. And now California has a law that will punish doctors, but as we've seen, most of what we doctors have said about masks and vaccines were correct. Now, somebody says that taking a vaccine will give you a third testicle. I haven't seen the studies. I'm probably going to call that misinformation. But somebody saying the COVID vaccines could affect fertility, that's not misinformation. The NIH is putting funding into studying vaccines and their effect on fertility because tens of thousands of women have said it's affected their periods or caused bleeding or changed their cycles. So what is misinformation? Well, a federal judge this week paused enforcement of that new law. Senior Judge William Shoup said the measure's definition of, quote, misinformation was unconstitutionally vague under the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. A group of doctors, along with two organizations, are suing state officials in separate actions in the United States District Court in Sacramento. They asked Shub to stop enforcement of the rule while they continue in court. The law went into effect January 1, and it says doctors who share false information about COVID-19 treatment options or vaccines, whether they did so deliberately or not, could be disciplined for unprofessional conduct. In the order Wednesday, Shub criticized the law's definition of misinformation, which is, quote, false information contradicted by contemporary scientific consensus, contrary to the standard of care. Shep called that definition nonsense at a court hearing Monday and said in Wednesday's order that it was grammatically incoherent. Beyond that, Judge Shep also criticized the phrase contemporary scientific consensus, thank you, saying that it doesn't have an established meaning in the medical field. The statute provides no clarity on the term's meaning, leaving open multiple important questions. He said, for instance, who determines whether a consensus exists to begin with? If a consensus does exist, among whom must the consensus exist? Practicing physicians, professional organizations, medical researchers, public health officials, a combination? He said the lack of clarity makes it impossible to determine what the new law prohibits. I think he correctly, now according to Richard Jaff, the attorney representing one of the challenges to the rule, said I think he correctly analyzed the facts and the law and understood that the concept of, quote, contemporary scientific consensus is highly problematic. This case is just in its beginning phases. Now, I'm a physician, and I know when I'm being silenced. I know when somebody tries to bring something up in the form of a law to silence us, and I think that's sick. Because the only people who can bring something up to a patient and find something not right in the most intimate of settings, right, could be your doctor. Yeah, you have an odor. That odor isn't a normal odor. You might have strep, or you might have a vaginal infection, or you might have an abscess, or you might have, you know, you need a physician to say there might be something wrong with your body, with the knowledge. Do you know how gutsy it is, and how, you know, I had to forget all the fears and concerns of people looking at me funny when I had said, guys, I don't think I like Vioxx. I'm noticing something with my patients and their blood pressures, just like Meridia. I'm like, Meridia, a weight loss medication, something's happening to their blood pressure. And I remember the Merck rep, Merck is a fantastic pharmaceutical company, but I remember this one rep tried to kind of strong-arm me. Started to make crazy eyes, started to look at me funny and say, well, where's the proof? There's no proof that it causes this. And I get that's his, he's feeding his family off his sales, but I wasn't going to write the Vioxx. And lo and behold, months later, Vioxx taken off the market. It takes doctors having some guts to say, hey guys, something might not be right. And when we as doctors see people wear a half-assed mask or a dirty mask and think that they are having full-blown protection against a deadly virus, we owe it to the public to speak out. And that's the other thing. We in medical school are taught to not be quiet. And so if you don't speak up, you could be hurting people. So you have to speak up. If I see that you have Frank's sign, a diagonal crease in your earlobe, I'm going to tell you, I think you need to get your heart checked. Some of you wonder why I'm a thyroid stalker. I call myself the thyroid stalker because when I see somebody having a large thyroid, I want them to get it checked out because they could have a mass, they could have a goiter, a thyroid disorder. It's my duty. I'm not allowed as a doctor to keep quiet. So when you have a law wanting doctors to stay quiet, what the hell is happening to our medical field? I get, you don't want to say that, you know, the vaccine is going to cause you to grow a third testicle. But if somebody says, look, there might be side effects, let them talk about that. 1-877-DOCTOR. Fantasy football season is coming, but sadly, too many of you are taking the bench while the country takes part in one of the most exciting and lucrative industries out there. Don't know how to play, huh? Well, huddle up and listen. Sports analyst Paul Kalikas and I have written a fantasy football pocket guide for beginners. This book walks you through the basics and shows you how simple and lucrative joining and creating a fantasy football team can be. Read our Fantasy Football Pocket Guide for Beginners found on Amazon or follow the links on Twitter and Facebook. That's Fantasy Football Pocket Guide for Beginners. It's time you get into the action. Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
So thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel, our producer. Big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. All right, so some of you are asking, what the hell is going on with the antibiotic shortage? Well, I am noticing a little bit of easing up. We do have medications in short supply. The top ones were the amoxicillin antibiotic, both in liquid form and pill form. There were some Tylenol shortages being reported, Tamiflu being reported. But as the flu season has started to subside a little bit, I think it's getting a little easier. Where my concern is we, and I predicted this years ago, that we would be giving Tamiflu to people who don't have flu. And we would be giving amoxicillin and antibiotics to people that don't have bacteria. And the abuse that is happening with the telemedicine systems is so rampant that I predict we will have ongoing drug shortages. And this is going to be very precarious. And we have to make a decision on how we move forward. For those of you that have never tried telemedicine, it is fantastic. It is amazingly easy. I spoke to a North Dakota couple who was homebound because of the storm, and I was able to help both of them, two separate visits, apparently. I was like, oh, did I just speak to one of your family members? And she pops in going, hi, it's snowing. They can't get their prescription, but they needed some advice, and I still wrote a prescription that I thought they needed, and I was able to, while it was late night over there, and it was freezing cold for them, I was able to be in their living room helping them through telemedicine. But it is amazing what we have been able to do in terms of accessing health care. What is, though, the challenge is I can't say 100%. It's hard to see. I'm not in the living room. I can't feel a lesion, a skin lesion. I can't, have that sense of what could be going on, the depth, the texture. I can't look as well into the throat. I can't listen to your heart, listen to your lungs. So there's limitations. There's also limitations in how people get paid. So the pay with telemedicine is not that much. So if a provider needs to make it worth their while, they can't just see one or two patients an hour. It's not financially worth it. What they have to do is see multiple ones, so hence volume. Well, this has been a problem. We thought telemedicine might stave off some of the BS that we saw in people's clinics where they had to see 30, 40 patients a day to break even. Well, now we're seeing that too. Since telemedicine doesn't get reimbursed that much, in order for a telemedicine company to pay the doctor and to pay the triage nurse and to pay for the malpractice and to pay for the staffing and the computer software and the tech support, they have to pay pretty little per visit. So I notice these providers are trying to see patients super duper fast. So somebody calls up saying, I think I have the flu. Oh, you think you have the flu? You have a fever? Yeah. You have body aches? Yeah. Sneezing, coughing? Yeah. Okay, I'll give you the Tamiflu. Here you go. Thank you. Click. And they can move on to the next patient. But what if that fever and cough isn't the flu? What if it's COVID? What if it's pneumonia? Sadly, I've seen patients call back going, I'm not better. Well, people will get an antibiotic from some doctor's lickety-split. They're not supposed to. There's a process. Then there's some vetting because a lot of these sore throats aren't strep. Somebody called up saying, yeah, I have a sore throat and I have exudates. I got white stuff all over my throat. Well, that could be strep, but it turned out that person had mono. White patches could also be mono. You give antibiotics or penicillin, you could get a rash from that. And then the person's not better. They could be going and playing contact sports and rupturing their spleen. So you have this, you have some doctors that are in such a hurry to get through to the next patient that they're like, here's your medicine, here's your medicine, here's your medicine. Well, as I predicted years ago, we're going to run out of those medicines. Then you also have people reading the news and they're looking at the shortages going, whoa, maybe I better call up and pretend I'm sick so that I could get some medication on standby. People hoarded toilet paper during COVID. People want to hoard medication. And I get the fear. It would be really nice for everybody to have some eye drops at the house or to have an antibiotic at the house. I get that. I really do. But if people start hoarding prescriptions, then there's not enough. When the avian flu hit years ago, there was a Tamiflu shortage. And patients were coming in going, I need Tamiflu. I need Tamiflu. I have the flu. I have the, and they were storing it. And one family got a total of 8 prescriptions. And I'm like, we can't be doing this. I know you're scared. I know you want Tamiflu at the house, but we have a shortage and we need to treat the people who are actually sick. So what ended up happening was a few weeks ago, the CDC said, hey guys, don't be given Tamiflu unless they test positive or they're already hospitalized and you think it's flu. But meanwhile, still on telemedicine, people are just giving it out. I had a woman, you know, yell at me saying, look, you know, my son has flu, so give my other son the medication. I'm like, look, you know, the CDC is asking for, well, they were ticked. Had another patient who kept calling in saying, well, the patient's older brother has strep, so they need medication. After three visits of the older brother having strep, you know, maybe that particular patient needs to get swabbed themselves. So we start to get very spoiled. Now, the European Union thinks that the antibiotic shortage is not considered a quote-unquote major event. Amoxicillin manufacturers, now this is according to the European drug regulators, they said they're not going to label it a major event because it's going to be short-term. They said a major event would allow the European Medicines Agency to coordinate action at a pan-European level to increase the reporting obligations of manufacturers. The drug regulators isn't going to go that far. They think that the supply is going to be able to be taken care of in the coming months. The EMA's decision, which Reuters revealed earlier on Thursday and is being reported by Fox News, is focusing on shortages of certain widely used antibiotics like amoxicillin, used to treat bacterial infections and often prescribed for ear or chest infections in children. We heard that we had an issue back in November. Why? Well, parents were calling, and there's telemedicine platforms in Europe, too, or people coming into the doctor, doctor's busy. They're like, my kid has strep. All right, if you think your kid has strep, I'm at a strep test. Kid has a fever. It won't hurt to give them the antibiotic. And I've heard doctors say it's not going to hurt. Well, it can hurt. Giving a wrong diagnosis can hurt. The other thing, too, that changed things are the Yelp reviews. People get ticked if they ask for a medication and they are turned down or rejected. So they go online and then they do bad reviews. A lot of these doctors can get fired if they get bad reviews. So they're more likely to get a good review if they give the prescription than not. Some of you had been curious about why doctors were more lenient with pain pill prescriptions in the 2010s before we were aware of the opioid crisis. I never did because I really don't care. Most of the people that, you know, complain don't really complain about the true thing. A lot of times they get mad because they got a bill and their insurance wouldn't pay for it. And since they can't really rip on the insurance company, they rip on the doctor for their company sending a bill. But when somebody goes, you know, I need a pain pill, and you're like, okay, well now Yelp reviews is ruining my business and I could lose my job if I don't get reviews. Fine, here's a medication. A lot of telemedicine doctors have gotten fired from telemedicine companies for poor reviews. Well, if they're trying to do antibiotic stewardship and not overprescribe, that's going to make the patient mad. The patient's going to do a bad review. That doctor gets fired. So if doctors are going to be overwriting the medications, if people are going to be over-asking, yeah, we're going to be in short supply. The EMA, so in Europe, they have received positive feedback from major amoxicillin manufacturers that supply is expected to be increased in the coming weeks and months, and that it expects the demand for antibiotics will dampen as spring approaches. So, yeah, I think we're going to be coming out of the woods. We're not out of the woods yet, but we will be. We still have a lot of people sick. We're at the end of January. I've not seen that much strep. I'm having a lot of parents say their kids have strep, but when you look at the throat on picture exam, can't tell. I had one mom call in for antibiotics, even though her kid was negative at the clinic for strep, negative for COVID, but not better. Give us antibiotics. So there. So it's going to take a concerted effort. 1-877 Doc Dolly, don't go away.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
It did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA News Update. A key inflation measure watched by the Fed Reserve is meeting expectations. The Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index, that doesn't include food and energy, rose by nearly 4.5% from 1 year ago. It's the slowest annual jump since October 2021. Weather forecasters say a storm that will cause a headache for millions of Americans across the country will be the opening act for some really cold air next week. Snow is expected this weekend from Colorado and Wyoming all the way east to Michigan. The snow will fall ahead of a new round of Arctic air that's being billed an Alberta Clipper. The police chief in Memphis says some words came to her mind when she saw the video of Tyree Nichols getting beaten by police officers.
Horrific. Alarming. Disappointing. Sad.
Tim Berg, USA News.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
On the Dr. Dolly Show, thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So I don't have an electric vehicle. Can't afford it right now. I buy used cars. So my Corvette is used. My husband's truck is used. We buy used cars because we did the new car thing and we didn't notice much of a difference. It still had issues. We still had to use the warranty. It still depreciated. So we buy a relatively, a newly old vehicle, one that's only a couple years old. We get a warranty, and we've been doing good. So since we don't really buy new cars, we're looking around for used electric vehicles. You don't want to buy used electric vehicles because you don't know what the battery life is, and you can't test the battery. So when it comes to an electric vehicle, my husband and I are going to have to kind of go against what we usually do and buy one brand spanking new. Well, a brand spanking new electric vehicle is too damn expensive right now, so I haven't done it yet. I don't have the extra funds to buy a new car. I'm already dealing with my current cars. But I saw a picture of an old electric vehicle, and I was reminded that electric vehicles aren't just a 21st century issue or product. We had electric vehicles at the turn of the 20th century. 100 years ago, we had electric vehicles running around our roads. A lot of you guys know that, some of you don't. I did. I remember reading something, but apparently there were a lot of electric vehicles, various manufacturers, and early electric cars dated back to 1895. So you wonder, if we had electric vehicles and you could plug into electricity, why don't we have them now? So what were some of the electric vehicles? Well, in 1901, there was an advertisement, the Columbia Electric Vehicles. They said the Mark III, cute-looking vehicle, this is 1901, has come to be generally recognized as almost a standard type of American electric vehicle. It has a 25-amp motor, max speed of 12 miles per hour. The battery consisted of 44 chloride cells, had a capacity of 75 ampere hours at a three-hour rate, and it gave a mileage of 35 miles over ordinary roads. The weight of the vehicle was 2,500 pounds, 2,570. So you got a 35 miles out of the charge. You also had the Mark VI, which had 44 cells, discharged in 3 hours, gave 90 ampere hours for a mileage of 35 miles. Their max speed was 11 miles per hour. So you had vehicles that were almost 2,000 to 3,000 pounds. The batteries were pretty heavy. And they had, you know, enough mileage to get around town. But, you know, it was really a far cry from what we have today. The American Electric Vehicle Company in 1901 had a runabout top buggy for two people. Very cute. I love old cars. So there was a top buggy. It could open up for four people. It had a dos-a-do for four people. I'm not exactly sure if that's, is that like the covering? It had a six-passenger brake. Not sure what that means. One charge would run the vehicle 35 to 50 miles. All batteries could be recharged in the carriage. It would take 3 hours to recharge. And it would shut off automatically when the charge was done. This is 1901, people. Very cool. The Waverly Electric Motor Vehicles by the Indian Bicycle Company. There were three sizes of motors that they had. The 1.5 horsepower, 2.5, and 3.5 for the delivery wagon. Battery had 44 cells, varying in capacity, 9 pounds per cell. So they were heavy. And then it had a radius of 35 miles. So you look at these and you're like, well, wait a second. So did they advance at all? Well, they did. By, I think, 1915 or maybe 1909, they had a 100-mile electric roadster. They said early EV manufacturers and battery makers could not agree on how to position it. And so they said they saw it as a mistake to try to sell the electric car as a touring vehicle because its range would always be inferior to that of a gasoline-powered car. So people thought that they should market it as a short-distance city vehicle. And they focused on the fact that the range of electrics was sufficient for most people. And they got these cars up to 100 miles. That's not that bad. We're talking in the early 1900s. Electric World wrote in 1909 that the average EV as built today has considerably more available mileage on one charge of battery than the average vehicle of 10 years ago. So that means they're comparing it to cars from 1899. I'm so blown away that cars were made in the late 1800s. But Industrial Revolution, we think it was only the Model T The Model T might have made cars more affordable for everybody, but cars were invented in the late 1800s. And they said that the electric vehicle had improved by 1909 from the late 1800s. They said what is more is that it has considerable greater mileage than is actually needed in the run of business or pleasure, except when a long tour is undertaken. They call it a long tour or like a long trip, road trip. So according to German-American engineer Charles Proteus Steinmetz, I do not believe the average daily mileage of most cars is above 30 miles. And he is the one that developed an efficient motor incorporating the 1917 Day electric roadster. But he did not turn that advantage into a longer range. Instead, he wanted to choose a lighter and cheaper vehicle to turn a 2,500 vehicle to 1,400 pounds. And it then consumed less power. So, why didn't this continue? Why didn't this get this trend? What happened? Well, apparently, the electric vehicles were higher cost. And the range was an issue. And people got more out of their car when it was a internal combustion engine vehicle or fuel. The batteries had issues. There was low top speed, so it didn't seem to go as fast as these fuel cars, and the high cost. So have we overcome that? We have. Some people, I think, have like a 300 to 400 mile hour range, but it still takes time to charge. Many of you have to charge overnight. Well, that's a little frustrating for people. And the cost still hasn't come down. Now, I think we're in a better position now in 2023 to make these cheaper and to be able to make the battery less cumbersome, heavy. But it's fascinating to see that this was a huge industry, the electric vehicle industry. And how the electric vehicle industry, if that's what people wanted, would have, I mean, because we had electricity at that time. Use electricity to charge a car, but I think people didn't trust it. My guess is people didn't trust the electricity. People might have had power issues back then. People wanted to know that if they got stuck in the middle of the road, it was much easier somebody giving them gas than trying to find a plug. And we might still have those same problems unless plugs are easy to come by. But you could come up to another car and give them some gas and get that car running. You can't necessarily find them an outlet. So we're going to have to probably bring power in terms of a generator or something. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, don't go away.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, The Dr. Dolly Show. So if you notice, nobody's really been talking about vaping in the news. I know you guys are like, oh, thank God. Please don't. Please don't start that up again. Nah, we got to talk about vaping again. Sorry. I know. It's been kind of nice. Everything was about vaping in the teens. People are vaping too much, people are addicted to vaping, big tobacco, Juul, all that. Haven't really heard a lot because it's all about COVID, 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 mandate, COVID, mandate, MAGA, COVID, 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 mask, mask, COVID, mask, vaccine, 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 mandate, MAGA, vaccine. Okay, so, now, we haven't really gotten to slip in anything about e-cigs. And I have been mixed on the whole e-cig thing because I have not been convinced that they've been very safe. I am against tobacco smoke,
except for those of you who are serving in the military, and that's what you need to get through. As far as I'm concerned, you guys do whatever you need because you are, protecting our country. And if, you want to smoke a cigarette, I'm not going to butt in. I'm not going to discriminate against you. I'm not going to charge you more in taxes like cigarette smokers get. I get that you might have started smoking in service, and so you get some passes. However, if you are addicted to tobacco or the nicotine in it, and I think you're going to be at higher risk for cancer, COPD, heart disease, stroke risk, I'm going to want you off of the cigarettes. And even though the majority of patients successfully quit when they did it cold turkey, I understand that a good number of you need a little bit of a hand, a crutch. And so you've turned to vaping or e-cigs to help get you off the tobacco. Some doctors have been fine with it. I've been mixed. And what I told patients is, I go, I don't know what you're getting into your body. I don't even know if it could be worse. But if you're only going to be doing it for a few weeks, no longer than a month or two, to wean yourself off, I'll keep my mouth shut. But if you are going to go from being a two-pack-a-day smoker or a one-pack-a-day smoker to a chronic vape pen smoker, and we're in this 2-3 years, I'm not going to be convinced that that's a healthy thing to do. Well, now we have a study saying that vaping inflames the lungs even more than cigarettes, and it causes a unique damage to the lungs. Now, I'm not saying tobacco smoke is safer. It's not safer, but vaping may not be safer. University of Pennsylvania researchers said the electronic devices cause, quote-unquote, unique damage to the lungs, not yet fully understood. The study is the latest evidence to highlight how vaping is not the risk-free cessation method it was initially touted as. Thank you. Other researchers have found e-cigs cause heart and lung damage on par with traditional cigarettes. The researchers looked at 15 people, and they gave them a tracing chemical that sticks to inflammation on the lungs and makes it visible on CT scans. Participants were either vapers, traditional smokers, or people who never used either. Results showed significantly more inflammation in the lungs of vapers than smokers or non-smokers. Tobacco smokers did not suffer more inflammation than those that use neither device. So somebody smoking tobacco didn't necessarily show inflammation of the lungs. Now, I would use that phrase with caution. Some smokers might be so used to that crap in their lungs that the immune system's like, nothing to see here. We could go back and take our nap. Remember, there was a theory that very transiently floated that smokers were not getting as bad a COVID illness as non-smokers. Remember, there was that theory? And I haven't heard much. But they had noticed, some physicians had noticed, that the chronic smokers who were probably dried out and sooted up in their lungs didn't seem to have the juicy cytokine wet storm that caused people to basically drown from COVID early on in the COVID pandemic. And one theory was, maybe the smoking caused such scarring, caused such a drying, that the immune system didn't get woken up as much. Now, I personally think more smokers died of COVID than not, because they were also at heart attack risk, and their immune system might have been lower, etc. But I don't think we heard much after that, and it was a fascinating theory that I think did need to be studied. Did the chronic smokers have some sense of protection? I would think not, but I could understand if some of the data found that it did. Now, the problem with that is you have a cell that turns cancerous, and your immune system isn't aware or doesn't care that by the time that cancer takes hold and does something, it's too late. So I would rather you have a more active immune system than not. But I bring that up because in this study, they said, well, the tobacco smokers did not have more inflammation than the vapors did. Well, that's because these tobacco smokers, their lungs might have been dried out and just kind of scarred and just not, you know. It's like when you scrape your knee up and you have all that scarring and you get a new cut, you're like, no big deal. But somebody who has a very nice, pristine new knee is like, oh my gosh, I got a boo-boo, it's bleeding, is it? You know, when you're like, dude, my knees are cut and scraped up. That's how I look at it. So, they said they find evidence that e-cigs causes a unique inflammatory response in the lungs. How I look at what is happening then is your lungs, when you get inflammation, means your body doesn't like it. Inflammation means your body thinks they have to do something. And it's not what the body needs. And inflammation and chronic inflammation could lead to cancer, heart disease, stroke, bad things. So you don't want to inflame your body any more than you need to. Now, just like with pimples. We tell kids to stop picking their pimples. Most of your pimples know what to do. They will bring whatever bacteria it to the surface, package it with that white, you know, sebum and white pus. It'll exude out to the air. You clean up your face, and you don't have to be sitting there messing with it. Even though I understand some dermatologists use comedone extractors and try to help the process, and sometimes you might get cystic acne that might need an antibiotic or need to be drained, but for the most part, your body knows what to do to get stuff out of the body. But you add extra inflammation, you can make it worse. Now, they say 2.5 million minors, so kids, are using e-cigs. I don't know what the number is for grown-ups. That's according to CDC. And these kids that are vaping, my concern is, they're vaping, I think, more often than kids used to smoke. It used to be really, really hard to get a hold of a cigarette. You know, and you'd be like, smoking in the boys' room. Well, to do that, you might have only had 5 minutes. Well, now with vaping, because kids could hide and all that, people are doing a much longer vape, and they're using up the whole cartridge. And what I worry about is these kids are damaging their lungs more with the vaping than the smoking because of all the different flavors and all the different potencies, as well as the length of time. People would smoke, they hated the smoking, they'd pretend, and whatever, and then they'd get rid of it really quickly. So we could have some severe lung-related issues because of the vaping. We got to think twice. 1-877-DOCFELLY.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.